Motopod, proudly supported by Roadskin, a UK label specializing in protective outerwear for motorcyclists. Modern biker clothing that you can wear all day long and engineered to save your skin. For the road, for life, visit roadskin.co.uk.
Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode 759, and my name is Martin Darlington. It's been a while, folks. So the reason that we're putting out this special show, in addition to the normal regular output, is because I'm still out in Qatar, and we've just had the MotoGP test, and you're about to hear a series of interviews I was fortunate enough to be able to make, and these are going to be in the order in which I recorded them. So first up is Red Bull Gas Gas Tech 3 rider Augusto Fernandez, followed by Repsol Honda's Juan Mir and Luca Marini. So I hope you enjoy it, and over to me talking to Augusto Fernandez. So it's Martin from Motopod, and I am with Red Bull Gas Gas Tech 3 rider Augusto Fernandez. Thank you so much for making some time for us. Augusto, you were Rookie of the Year last year. No, okay, you were the only rider, but we all watched your progression through the year, and it seemed really positive. What are your feelings for the season coming up?
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a tough one, but positive one, I have to say. The end of the season especially, I felt strong. I felt that I had the speed, and I always compare myself to our bikes, you know, so I was comparing a lot to Brad and Jack also, what they were doing, and we got closer and closer the last part of the season in terms of speed, but not in results. So that's why I'm looking forward to this season, you know, to put all together, use the experience we have from last year. We built a good base with the team, and the bike is working good also this year, so we are ready to take the next step, because in the end, I want to win. I want to make podiums. I want to win races. So,
of course, I mean, you're Moto2 world champion.
Yeah.
So once you've tasted,
I had enough
that,
of being at the back last year. Yeah. So I want to get back on top as soon as possible. And as I said, we showed some speed last year, some very good speed, but we need the results. So we need to put it all together. So that's the plan.
In recent years, this seems to have been a route that a rider has to take. Red Bull Rookies or Talent Cup, mm-hmm. Moto3, Moto2. Now, you did an unusual route. You came straight into Moto2. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that missing out on Moto3, certainly in the days of 125 and 250s, riders would learn setup working with their crews? And then the early Moto2, people felt that maybe the Moto2, they lost that a bit. Do you feel you missed out by not doing Moto3?
I felt it maybe in terms of... in my early years in Moto2, the experience of traveling around the world, tracks, and working with a professional team, I came straight away from home to the World Championship in Moto2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt like the first year, I have to say, I had to pay a lot of attention and work a lot to convert this year or the first year in like the 3 or 4 years in Moto3. So gain the experience, you know, in 1 year. But after that, I'm proud of my career. I'm proud of what I did, and I had to work hard for every year, for every contract.
Yeah.
But in the end, it made me the rider that I am today, and it's good. I'm really confident about myself now and all my team around. So thanks also for these strange years.
It's strange that we see so often with riders at your kind of level that. You know, you had good results, you had some difficult years. You went to KTM IO, everything just clicked.
Yeah.
And that season was incredible to watch.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you beat Ayagura, was your closest rival by the end, but Pedro Acosta, now your teammate for this season. Been a lot of attention on Pedro. But you beat him that year. Now, do you feel that maybe some of the attention being taken off you by his arrival, is that going to help you?
Yeah, but I don't pay attention to the media things. I've lived this in Moto2 with him. He came as Moto3 world champion, and the expectations were the same as this year in MotoGP, not to be at the front again and in his first year. So that's a lot of pressure to him, but he can do it. So what I want to use is his ability and his talent. So he will be fast. He's been already fast in Sepang. So as he was in the first test in Moto2, I remember he was first. He was leading the yeah. class in the first test. So it's what I want to use. I want to learn from him as I learned from Brad and Jack during Laragia and Paul. So yeah, we have four competitive riders in the same bike. So yeah. that's very good for everybody. And that's what I want to take.
And the other thing that clearly has changed is when KTM came into the Premier class, they were known to have the steel trellis frame. It was a KTM trademark. And other people said, can you make it work? And clearly they did. But now they've moved to the carbon chassis. How much of a difference is that for you? And are you having to almost learn again how to ride the bike?
Well, I have to
how to ride a bike fast.
I have to say, yeah, it's different in terms of riding, but we have a better bike. So everything is better. You adapt quicker.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier to adapt. So I think the work of the last years from KTM and from all the group and from Danny as test rider and Paul this last winter, it's been amazing. Since I'm on the team, every new thing that they gave me was better.
Yeah.
You know, so we've been improving all the time. So I have a huge trust on what we have this year already. I think the bike we are going to show our potential this year. I don't know if we will fight for the championship or not, but for any of the four riders, but for sure we will arrive, so sooner or later. So yeah, we're doing a good job.
We've seen it with KTM in every series they enter.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to win.
Yeah. As, like us as riders and like anybody here in the paddock, so they want to win.
And last year you just missed out on a podium at Le Mans, and yet I believe your favorite circuit is Assen.
Yes.
So which are you looking forward to more?
I have some tracks that I really like and that have been always fast, like Le Mans, Assen, also Misano, Barcelona. There's a lot of tracks that I'm looking forward for this year. But my goal is to be consistently up there. Not only these highlights. I want to have a consistent season, being at the front, fighting to be the first PM Mobility KTM Gas bike all the year, not only in some practice.
Sure.
Like it was the last part of the season. I want results, I want the Sundays, so that's the plan.
Brilliant. Augusto, thank you so much. I won't keep you any longer.
Thank you.
The very best for the season. And I really mean that. It's not just because I'm talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate we want to see you do well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So it's Martin from Motopod, and I am joined by Juan Mir, Repsol Honda rider for the second year, MotoGP World Champion 2020, Moto3 World Champion in 2017 with an incredibly dominant performance. It feels as if everything's changed in HRC. Obviously, the team have been with Marc Marquez for so many years, they've had many titles, he's gone. It feels like a fresh start, and I was just wondering what your take on it is. We know how hard Honda are working, you've got a whole bunch of new ideas and new technicians coming in, it seems.
Yeah.
You've been joined by a new teammate in Luca Marini. Does it feel to you that almost you have a blank sheet of paper on which you can start to write a new chapter?
Yeah, probably I feel like that. I think that this year is like a new era inside of Honda. And like everything is new, no? I feel like a restart at the moment. And also it's something that I needed, because last year was a horrible year for all of us, and we didn't enjoy anything, and was honestly very tough. But it was tough for a rider that is used to get good results in mostly every race, no? It's a lot of time without that motivation, without that great results. But as you said, I see a big change inside of Honda, a lot of new faces. The bike is completely different in terms of lap time feeling. More than lap time, the bike is faster. I'm able to ride quite in a better way, enjoying more. But it's true that I'm very cautious, no?
Yeah, cautious.
Because last year we had the worst bike on the grid, and we cannot pass from that to the best one. So we have to be first in the middle, and then make correct steps to be with the Ducatis in this case, no?
Sure.
So I think we are in the process. Honestly, I feel like that.
One of the things that we've seen in the past, for example, when Ducati was struggling, and Valentino Rossi goes there,
and he came up against Filippo Preziosi, who'd won them success with Casey Stoner. Looking back, we now know Casey Stoner was an extraordinary talent, but it was almost that they needed that immovable object of Preziosa being met by the force of Valentino Rossi. Does it feel that now, even if, as you say, you don't find instant success and be right at the front straight away, being able to put your input in makes it easier to ride the bike, even if it has some difficulties, because you feel you're being listened to more?
At the end, in a factory team, you've always been listened by the engineers, no?
Sure.
It's always like that. Here is not like probably in the past that one rider is more important than the other. I didn't feel like that last year. And in the other hand, this year, that is should be different, no? But yeah, well, as you said, Ducati was struggling in the past. Honda in that time was the best one. Now it's a bit the opposite, and it's part of the history that these things happen, no? The important thing is that we overcome from this situation. I'm sure that Honda will be back and probably stronger than how it was before, because...
But it's Honda.
Yeah, yeah, because it's Honda, as you said. The difference also is when you said this about 2007, Stoner was winning on that time. Then he leaves and then comes Valentino. But last year, Mark, that is the one that won everything with this bike, he wasn't able to win. So the situation, it was very, very difficult, because in some races, I was there with Mark, another one's in front, and you say, and then I was thinking, if this happened in another year, probably 10 years ago, we will be first and second, or...
Yeah.
and last year was 15 and 16, or 10 or 11, so it was tough.
Sure. And I mean, it was difficult to watch because...
Yeah, it was.
2020 was a difficult year for the whole world,
yeah,
in every sense. But it was amazing to watch you come through that year,
yeah,
in such a difficult circumstance, you know, doing back-to-back races where it changes the whole dynamic because everyone has all the data from the weekend before to race again at these double-headers we did.
Yeah, that year was... What we did was fantastic because we didn't have the best bike of the grid. The Suzuki wasn't the fastest bike of the grid.
It was the best-looking. Sorry, Harry, I know you were
I agree with you on that time.
Yeah.
But we won the title for doing the things correctly, being constant, don't make mistakes,
yeah,
win when was the moment to win,
sure,
not before. Be patient. And then the year after, we fought with the Ducatis with that bike that was very good, but it was not the best one. So, yeah, I have a very, very good memories from that year.
Sure. On a more general question, before we started recording, it's a very windy day here today. Testing,
yeah,
starts tomorrow. It's going to be less windy than today, we hope, but it was to be windy. The aero now on MotoGP bikes, they're so different from anything that any of us have seen before. And it seems very, very specifically designed to help you control the bike, you know, into corners and then around and preventing wheelie and everything.
Yeah.
When you have a crosswind, is the aero now more difficult? Does,
yeah,
it change the whole dynamics?
It's more challenging now. The wind always was difficult to ride with wind, with a bike with 250 horsepower, and
sure,
being the front on the ground with lateral wind, this is... It's a nightmare. But it's true that now the bike with the winds are heavier in terms of handling. If you have wind, you feel more. You feel more the wind than,
right,
before.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So, yeah, and also for testing, it's a nightmare because you have wind and the wind normally is not constant. You know it. Blow fast, then a stop, then another one. And... to try things that makes you improve 1/10 per lap, sometimes you don't understand because you say, in this corner I'm turning more, but probably the wind changed.
So was it me or the bike?
Was
or
the
was
bike?
It the wind?
Was me? What you know? You don't understand so much. So I hope that
Tomorrow the wind is a bit less. We are able to try the things properly, and then we have another day. But it's true that
this test is not important, because it's as important as Sepang, but it's not cómo se sería, not tan. We have 4 hours.
We have four hours.
We don't have much time, because here the condition change a lot.
Yeah.
So you have to be with the homework done.
Yeah.
Here you have to arrive here with the homework more or less done. We have to confirm a couple of things. We have to see if we are still fast as in Sepang, and that's it. Here it's like this.
I've heard before that the Qatar test is very good for helping you with the Qatar race and not much else, because
exactly.
I guess as well with wind conditions, which are often quite strong here at this time of year, that on a fast sweeping corner, is it harder than somewhere like Motegi or Le Mans, where it's, you know, go, stop, turn, because you're turning slower there, but with a high speed corner it must be really difficult.
Normally the Honda, the character in the past was stop and go.
Yeah.
So what is a corner speed and grip, we don't have a lot of grip, or we don't have the same grip than the others. But on the brakes, we can make a difference. And so that's why in this track, Donda wasn't super competitive in the past. But it's true that this concept is completely different. The bike changed a lot, and I believe that we can be stronger.
Okay, I'm nearly done, don't worry. I know Harry's sat there glancing as well. This is going to sound really wild, but me growing up, I'm very old, I'm 58, so growing up from like the 80s, 90s, watching bike racing when I could. When the Spanish started to arrive, we had Privier, and then we had the Espargaro brothers, and Marquez, and Vinales. It seemed that all the Spanish racers, most of them came from Catalonia, in the same way that most of the Italians came from Rimini. But now we've had Jorge Lorenzo and yourself from Mallorca for quite a small island. I know two guys is not a big sample group, but is there a big racing scene on Mallorca? Can we expect to see more?
In Mallorca, true, we have a private track. The government is not that we have a public track and huge resources. We don't have that. But Lorenzo, when he started to be like 15 or 16, he moved to Barcelona.
Right.
So he starts his career in Mallorca, but straight away he moves. In my case, I've been in Mallorca all the beginning of my career. And also, you mentioned Ethan Guevara.
Yes.
That is Moto3. Yeah. Now in Moto2, Augusto Fernandez. We have another one in KTA in Tech 3.
Yeah. Now he's not Mallorcan born, is he? But I think he grew up there.
We grew up.
He feels like one of yours.
We grew up together. We train in the same school and all this stuff, no?
Yeah, yeah.
So means that for some reason we are a lot of riders there. But if I have to give you an explanation, I don't know why.
No. But it's just you guys will inspire the next group. They may have gone to the same school as you 10 years after you've left, but they think, wow, I could be a MotoGP world champion, maybe, you know, and then they try.
We show that you can do it, no? So, yeah.
And my last question is, 2027, we're going to see a big rule change. There's going to be a big change. There's lots of rumours, you know, bringing the capacity down. If you were asked, you could have one change that you can choose, what would it be?
If I have to give one, I will...
A technical
if I have to choose one, I will choose a big one, not a small one, because I can start to say, no, the start device, out. This is the first thing. But I will probably remove the wings.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. Listening to the journalists and other interviews...
It's a big change, because it's not just remove the wings, it will change completely MotoGP. This will change. We have to go back in terms of tires. We will need softer front tires.
Yeah.
Now, with the wings, we load a lot the front. We always go harder and harder in terms of compounds in front. We remove this, we go back. We will need a softer compounds in front. If not, we will start to crash like very easy, no? the wins for the spectator is not positive, but in terms of safety for the rider, for small crashes, is more safe. This is true, because you have more load on the front part of the bike. All this makes more stability. The front tire is always on the ground, more is warmer.
Yeah.
You don't have this type of crashes that we saw in the past in MotoGP, especially in 2020, 2019, 2017. All this crash that you come from a slow corner, then the fast one, and straight away you lose the front in a high speed.
Yeah.
We don't have that type of crashes. We have on the last part a boosting from the front brake. This we have a lot. But it's true, in terms of safety, we improve it. So maybe don't remove completely, but not
limit.
That is what I will say.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Juan, I wish you the very, very best of the season.
Thank you.
It will
so
be
much.
Fascinating to see how you get on, and we'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure.
So it's Martin for Motorpod, and I'm joined by Luke Marini, a newly signed HRC Repsol Honda rider for this year. Luca, welcome. Thank you. We're outside the paddock. Last year, there was a lot of speculation about people moving, people going. It seemed to me that it came quite out of the blue. It's like, wow. Once the idea dropped that you might come to Honda, it seemed a really good idea for you and for them. I'm not going to ask you about the process of how long it went on. I'm sure talks took place, but how difficult a decision was it to leave the team you'd been with since you joined MotoGP and come to a huge team with an incredible history, but one that in the last few years had struggled?
Thank you for the invitation, the presentation. Well, I think that I never saw it like it was difficult, something difficult. It was one of my dreams, or my target, riding for a factory team. This in particular, HRC, is something really, like you said, it made the history of our sport. So it's something really, really unique, and I'm pleased to be here. I know that past seasons were not so good, but I take this like a challenge also. And I'm trying to better myself, try to be here for develop and then back to the top with the bike, with this factory, because I think we can do it. I trust in them. And since the beginning, I feel really comfortable in the garage. Talking with the Japanese was really nice, and I had very good vibes. So for me, it was never something difficult. I just tried to catch this opportunity for try a new challenge and for be part of the title contenders in the future.
Sure. It certainly feels that Honda are starting a new chapter, and is part of the appeal of the good idea of coming here, being part of that, being able to start not from scratch. Obviously, there is an existing bike that will be developed, but
yes,
that part of being in the factory team, that you and Juan between you will be able to have a major input in how the bike develops.
Exactly. Yeah. This is for me the current moment. I arrived in a good moment, and I think that together we can grow up a lot and develop a very good bike in the future, because I trust on my feelings on myself a lot, and I am really sensitive on the bike, and also I'm quite clear on give my feedbacks to all the engineers. We can understand very well also with the Japanese that it is not so easy. Many people told me that the communication with them maybe can be a limit, so you have to adapt on this. It's a little bit different compared to talking with Italian engineers. It's a different culture, but sure that I respect them and I love them, their culture. So this is a good moment.
Sure.
But sure that we start from very far, from the top. And this maybe can be a problem if our target for this season maybe are put too high. We need to be calm and patient and wait at the moment that the bike will be ready for try to make podiums and victories. And then, as a rider, I need to be there and ready for achieve it.
It's certainly been interesting watching your journey. That in recent years, it seemed that there's a route to MotoGP. You go Red Bull Rookies or Talent Cup, then Moto3, Moto2, MotoGP for those few that make it.
Mm-hmm.
But you came straight in at Moto2, didn't you?
Yeah, I was too tall.
For Moto3?
Yeah, exactly. And
sure.
I jumping a Moto2 in the European Championship, and was really a career changes, following also the advices of my brother, because I wanted to go in the Moto3 World Championship, because I think it's really good category that teach you a lot of good things that help you also in MotoGP, but for me it was not possible because it was too tiny, the bike, and this was a really good move. And then arriving in Moto2 in the World Championship, I start my journey. Maybe a little bit, I did some time at the beginning, but not so much, because at the end, after just 5 years, I arrived in MotoGP, so it's good.
Yeah, and you had some really good years in Moto2.
Yeah.
So 2027, there's going to be a big shake-up of the rules. I asked your teammate earlier, and I'd like to ask you as well, if you could change one rule, if Dorna came to you and the FIM and the ERTA and everybody, and they said, OK, Luca, you can have one rule, what would you change?
Well, this is, I think, a difficult question to answer because I don't have the power to change it. But if I have to imagine, sure, that the aerodynamics is the first thing that come in my mind. But I don't think that just limit is the way. Because then when you limit something, there is every time something to avoid the limitation.
Yes.
I would like to have a very clear and precise regulation.
Yeah.
For don't have gray areas and don't have somebody that can...
find a hole.
Find a way to aggirare regolamento. Aggirare the regulation. I don't know the correct word in English, sorry.
Find a loophole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you mean Gigi Deligner and Ducati, who would find a loophole?
No, I'm not
asking.
I think that in a lot of construction, in a lot of factories, there are very good engineers. Gigi is one of the best, sure, but also in the other part, also in Honda, we have very, very strong people, that very smart and clever. So, just a more clear regulation, and if I need to choose something about the technical side, sure, the aerodynamics, because in my opinion, as soon as the aerodynamic came, the overtaking was more difficult.
Yeah.
And every year it became more difficult, and we stress a lot the tires, so we complain a lot for the tires, but all the problems are started with the aerodynamic, in my opinion. That maybe is not also a bad thing for the development of the bike, and the technology is something interesting to see. But in my opinion, the show is less.
Sure. It's difficult for you to say, I guess, after just one test, it's a pang on the new bike. But is there a track you're particularly looking forward to? Either one that you like anyway, or that you think, this bike on this track will do well?
Impossible to say this.
Sure.
Impossible, because now the bike is completely different to the past. So maybe in the past, with the same experience of the past years of Honda, I can tell you maybe Austin can be good, because last year won Rins, and in the past Mark won every time, so maybe the track would be good for us. But I think that in this moment the bike is so changed that maybe it's not so easy that we are gonna be fast there, so we need to wait and understand, because also Austin is just the third race of the year, so we will not be at our 100%.
Sure. And finally, the concessions that Honda have been granted for this year, it could make a very, very busy year for all you guys, the test team, and especially for you and Juan. Do you think that's going to be a big help, or with the busiest year we've ever had, although Argentina's now dropped off, but it's still going to be at least as busy as last year. Are you looking forward to it, or is there some, this is going to be hard work?
I think I'm a little bit on the middle, but not for the busy part. It's not busy. I like it. For me, I can go on the bike every week. It's not a problem. Like in all the other sport, if you see football players play football every day.
Yeah.
So it's just a pleasure to be here and ride a MotoGP bike. For me, if I can do it every week, it's perfect. But on the other end, I don't think that the concessions is something so big.
Right.
For use it, because maybe you have a little bit more test and everything, but you need also to work a lot, to invest a lot of money. The engineers have to do a great job, and a busy job also for them, so it's not so easy that you have the concession, the results will arrive in 1 year. It's not so true. We need to use this our potential in the best way, and these concessions in the best way, but I think that it will be not so easy. If it is not just, we have the concession, so we will improve a lot in an easy way.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much
for giving us your time. It will be fascinating to watch your progress through the season. Wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you.